Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. So glad all the Patriots fans are in the second service. Glory to God. I didn't say Bills, I said Patriots. What a great day, isn't it? How many of you love Jesus? We're in our once a year song. We'd like to open in prayer. My wife will open in prayer. Let's pray.
Father, we just love you and we love your presence. Thank you for the honor and privilege of entering into your presence, of worshiping you and experiencing your glory in our lives. And we just love you, Father, in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Everybody do this for me. Wave. Got it in my hands. Come on now, pick up your feet. Got it in my walk. Come on, give me a little walk now. Got it in my talk. Got it? Now, can you do that one more time? Ready? I got it in my hands. I got it in my feet. You got to move your feet now. Got it in my feet. I got it in my walk. And I got it in my talk. You ready? How many of you have never heard this song before? Oh, boy. Wow, a lot of folks. I've got it. I got it, I got it. Something about that Holy Ghost, I can't explain it, but I got it. We gotta do that one more time, slow, slow, slow. I got it, I got it. I got it, I got it. Something about that Holy Ghost, I can't explain it, but I got something about that Holy Ghost. I can't explain it, but I got it.
But I want everyone to say this with me. My praise is a weapon.
My praise is a weapon.
Go ahead and say it again. My praise is a weapon.
My praise is a weapon.
Yes. Do you believe that this morning? My praise is a weapon.
My praise is a weapon.
Fantastic day, ain't it? Hallelujah. How many of us know that praise draws him near? Praise draws him near. So he's here right now. He knows your heart. He knows your needs. And he's ready. He's ready to pour it out. Come on, guys. Just sing this with me.
Who is like you, Lord, in all the earth?
With every hand lifted, please, hallelujah.
Matchless love and beauty, endless worth.
See, nothing in this world.
Nothing in this world will satisfy.
Because Jesus, you are.
Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry.
Sing your presence.
Your presence is heaven.
Hallelujah.
To me.
Come on and sing it out, your presence.
Your presence is heaven. To me.
Let's go back to the top. Come on and sing.
Your presence is heaven.
So all my days on earth I will away. Hallelujah. The moment that I see you face to face, 'cause nothing in this world will satisfy. For Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. Sing, Jesus, you are.
Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry.
Omega, we worship. sing to Jesus.
And Omega, we worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised.
We worship you, Jesus. Thank you for your anointing this morning. Lord, there are people that have come into your house with needs and situations. Some of them, Lord, even to themselves, seem absolutely impossible. Lord, we know that where your presence is, there is nothing impossible. So, Lord, we just speak to each need that's represented in this room in the name of Jesus. Lord, even as they ran around, walked around Jericho, God, on that last day, the shout became the praise. The shout was the victory, Lord, as the walls came down. We declare in the name of Jesus that there's no weapon formed against us that shall prosper. Lord, there's not one thing the enemy can do that will ever be able to overpower us or overcome us. For greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Lord, we are not weak, but we are strong in you. Lord, today as people, your babies, your sons and your daughters, Lord, are in this room. Those that are struggling, I thank you're going to undergird them right now in Jesus' name. We command bodies to come to attention to the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We curse sickness and disease by the power in Jesus' name. Maiming and wounding. We command, Father, that wounds that have been brought in our lives through accidents or situations. We command, even as the man who had the withered hand reached forward, it was made whole. We call forth creative miracles in Jesus' name. The miracles are in the house. Father, I thank you. Lord, just as that woman with the issue of blood, she pressed through. People will have a tenacity in the spirit to press through and to receive your promises. They are yea and amen. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Why don't you go find some folks you don't know this morning? Don't go just sit down. Please be friendly and nice and kind. You have 1 minute and 30 seconds to meet at least 3 or 4 people you don't know this morning. Shake their hands and say, good morning. You look just marvelous today.
Hey family, I want to remind you again about the marriage encounter that's coming up April 12th through the 14th. We need your deposit of $150 immediately. There are a few spots available still. Your next deposit of $150 will be due on February 25th. So make sure you sign up today at The Hub.
I am so excited about this upcoming event called Revitalize Worship Night. It is on Friday, February 9th at 7 o'clock. So we're just going to let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit does. We're going to let it flow. So if you would like to come out and join us for a night of worship, I would be so excited to see you there.
The second annual Women's Encounter Reunion is scheduled for March 1st through 3rd at the Best Western in Sayre. If you've been on an encounter weekend and you know who you are, you need to sign up for this event. It's a great time of refreshing and a recharge with God. Contact me if you want to attend for the whole weekend, and I can get the details to you. But the best news is, if you can't make the whole time, you can come Friday night for just $40. Get a hold of me and get signed up.
Coming February 11th. Don't be left out in the cold.
Good morning. I know you're all going to shout later, right? What's today? It's a special day today. I heard it. Say it louder. Super Bowl, right? Actually, today's a special day because every day in the house of the Lord is sweeter than the day before, right? And I'm so excited that you came out this morning and you made Jesus first, because you could be home making chili or cleaning your house or doing all those types of things. And instead, you decided that Jesus would be first. So go Team Jesus, right? Whether you're for the Patriots or you're for the Eagles, because we're Team Jesus. Of you. So we would like to welcome you, and also we would like to welcome our live stream family. Thank you so much for making sure to get your Jesus first thing in the morning. Some teams are going to need it today. And so that being said, we also would like to welcome our guests. Are there any guests in the house this morning? We're going to ask you to raise your hand, looking for some guests this morning. If this is your first time in the house, right over here. Awesome. I know those guests. So first time in the house this morning, they're going to bring a gift to you. Any other guests in the house this morning? Fantastic. Over here on this side of the building, directly after service, we have a guest reception that we would love to invite you to come out to. We have refreshments. We just want to meet you and get to know you. One of the best things about this house is that we build fantastic relationships and family. And so we want to be able to get to know you. We have a couple of announcements this morning. The first one is that if you would like to hear about all the wonderful things that God has done in this house in the last year, we're going to ask you to stay, because we're going to have our annual business meeting. Now, this is not just business as usual, information, numbers. It's a celebration of what God has done through this, through his kingdom in the last year. And I'm excited to know where we've been, and I'm excited to know where we're going to go. Can anybody else get excited about kingdom business, right? So that's directly after this service. Also, we'd like to remind you that we have a clothing giveaway tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. And then Tuesday from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. We have tons of clothing to give away. So please spread the word so we can bless as many people as possible. Again, we're about kingdom business. And on that note, I'd love to turn it over to Pastor Rhonda, because she's going to talk to you a little bit more about that.
Amen. Amen. We just want to welcome home Pastor Chad and Pastor Jade. They've been over in South Africa, not only vacationing, but about kingdom business also there. So we're just so happy that they are back here home with us. And we have super special guests in the house today with us. What a surprise and a blessing. Wendy and Robin, just very special to our hearts. And what a nice surprise for us today. Thank you for being with us. As we enter into this time of prosperity, it's one of my favorite times to share the word of God, because God loves when his children are prosperous. That's the word of God. That's what his word says. It says he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his children. So I love bringing the word of the Lord every week to you on prosperity. So this week, I want to talk about the preferential treatment that comes from God when you're a giver. I love preferential treatment. It's kind of cool. My husband can attest to that. You know, God is no respecter of persons, so it's available to everybody. But if you follow the word of God, there is preferential treatment available for you. Now, that's my words. Let's look at God's word and what his word has to say on this topic. And that's found in 2 Corinthians 9:7. Go ahead and write it down so you can check me if you don't believe what I'm saying later. It's in the Amplified Version, 2 Corinthians 9:7. And here's the word of God. It says, "For God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things," preferential treatment, "prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful giver whose heart is in his giving." So God gives preferential treatment to those who love to give. Hallelujah. That's such a blessing. But you can't even get to the place of giving until after the tithe. Okay, let me show you the word of the Lord. In Leviticus 27:30, it says, "All of the tithe of the land is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord." So the very first 10% of your income doesn't even belong to you. You can't give until the tithe is met, and then it's giving after that. Okay, so let's go on and read the benefits of being a giver in God's house. And we've established what giving actually is, so nobody's deceived or misled on what it is to give. So now let's see what the benefits of our giving are. And one is God promises a harvest to the givers. Galatians 6:7, "Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." God promises a harvest to givers. And then he promises an abundant supply to givers. How many of you want abundant supply? Not just, "Oh, I'm just making it by." No, abundant supply. Here, let's read it. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. "Honor the Lord with your substance, your income, and with the first fruits of all of your increase, so that your barns, savings accounts, may be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst forth with new wine." And then God tells us he will multiply back, not subtract, not divide, multiply back to the givers. And that's found in Luke 6:38, and it says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over." That's how he supplies those that gives. That's how he multiplies us. And then God promises riches to those that give. And that's found in Proverbs 11:25. "Yes, the liberal, generous giver shall be made rich." This is the word of God. And then God promises an open heaven to those that tithe. Malachi 3:10, "Bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now in this." He says, go ahead and test me. Prove me in this, says the Lord, "if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing which you shall not even have room enough to contain." That's the promises of God in regards to our giving. I don't know about you, but that excites me that I get to walk in preferential favor of the Lord as a giver in his house. So if you're ready, stand to your feet. Let's make our supernatural declaration. This is the word of the Lord. It's found in Deuteronomy 28, and we simply repeat the word of the Lord. You know, whatever you get in your mind is what you're going to live out of. Whatever you get into your mind is what you're going to live out of. That's why I
am so excited. Amen. Isn't that exciting? It's so cool to watch and see God touch and change lives. Next week, you do not want to miss next week. Turn to somebody and say, you do not want to miss next week. It is our 20th year anniversary at His Tabernacle Family Church. It's really awesome. Not only is it our 20th year anniversary, but we have some announcements for you that are just exciting. So we have the second announcement. Actually, I was just watching on Facebook. I can't tell you what it is. I'm so excited. My wife and I over here busting and bursting. I can't wait for next week to be able to share this with you, some really exciting news that God is doing. My wife and I just returned back from Kentucky on Monday, and we were out there, and we were with a pastor that we have, actually, we ordained him here at His Tabernacle Family Church. He's in Louisville, Kentucky. Everybody say Louisville. Not Louisville, Louisville. They said if you say Louisville that they laugh at you. Louisville, Kentucky. And Pastor Treadway, we were able to preach there and encourage his staff and build their leadership team. And we had 8 people born again on Sunday morning, which is very cool. One individual got born again that received the Lord was a lady that had been in sex slavery. And it was her very first time in church. And she was able to walk, first time in church, she walked up front, gave her heart to the Lord. Another lady, she was an architect, very first time ever in a church. She walked up front, gave her heart to the Lord. And then another young man who was dealing with drugs, probably about 40 years old, had always struggled, walked up front, gave his heart to the Lord. It was just so exciting. Some other teenagers did. It was a great service. And, you know, Empowering Pastors, we do this every year where we have a conference every year. March 19 through 21 is almost here, and we've been doing this now 4 years. And what's really exciting is watching what you have done in these pastors' lives. You know, that's the exciting part. We were just up in Syracuse on Wednesday with 2 pastors, one from the Utica region and the other one from Syracuse. The pastor from Syracuse, they've been coming to the Empowering Pastors Conference now for 3 years. And his wife was so excited. She looked at us. She kind of slapped us. She says, my husband is a different man because of His Tabernacle Family Church and the ministry that we're doing. Now, you need to know what that means, is that when you minister to an individual, that's cool. But when you minister to the pastor, you're ministering to all those that the pastor is ministering to. So we are literally affecting Louisville, Kentucky, Syracuse, New York. We're Utica area. We've got pastors all over the United States that we invest in and we build in, and literally all over the world. So I just want to say thank you. For the Empowering Pastors Conference, we already have 11 people coming from Texas. We have pastors coming from Indiana, pastors coming from Georgia. They're just coming. It's exciting. And I believe next week we're going to start giving you the opportunity to sow into that as you do every year. And why do we ask you to sow? Because when you give for these pastors, you're making them the opportunity to come. Many of them can't come because they have to work a secular job too. And you and I get to sow into them. We're sowing into their regions to bring them to the house of the Lord. So just ask the Holy Spirit at some point in time what He would have you give. We're not doing offerings this morning on it, but you have the phenomenal opportunity of investing in pastors. Another really cool thing that's happened in the last 2 weeks, about 3 months ago, His Tabernacle was offered a national spot on television. And we were going to be able to minister. It was called Faith TV, and minister all over the United States. And it was a great price. But we felt in our spirit it was more important to minister to our home community than it was to go on national television. Since then, a week and a half ago, the same gentleman came to us and said, we have an opportunity for you and His Tabernacle to minister to 2.1 million people, and it's for free. So there's a new place called livestream.tv that will be on your Roku, is that what they call it? Roku, and it will be on, you know, all those different types of stations where you're going to be able to get on it. And 2.1 million people. So His Tabernacle, I thank God for our media team. They're putting it together now. We're going to be able to be on this live stream TV for free and minister to 2.1 million people at a time. Isn't that exciting? God is, listen, we're in the middle of a cornfield, and that's no exaggeration. The corn is still standing. But God is using us. Amen. Turn to someone and say, God is using you. Wait till you hear the announcement next week. You're going to bust out of your skin. I'm so excited. Today, I just love this theme that God has placed for our spirit for the whole year. This is the year of... That was just so sad. I said, this is the year of... Come on, you yell at your children louder than that. This is the year of... Divine connections, where God connects you and puts you in a position where you are being touched by and also touching people for heaven's sake. Glory to God. I mean that, for heaven's sake. You see, the truth is that many of us don't really believe who God says we are. We're just in a little bit of a Christian survival mode. Well, I'm just trying to get to heaven. Glory to God. Listen, I'm not trying to get to heaven. I'm trying to bust out hell. Amen? You see, God's got an anointing in your life and a purpose for your life, a destiny for your life. You're not an accident. You've been fearfully and wonderfully made. And God has brought divine connections into your life to bring you even to this building this morning so you can hear the gospel and be saved, be changed, be challenged, and to be pushed forward in kingdom's principle. You see, I love our verse for the year. It's found in Mark chapter 16, verse 20, and it says this, and they went out preaching everywhere, and the Lord, everybody shout the Lord, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying of signs. You see, God wants to work with you. God's plan is not to do it all himself. In fact, he's made it so that he can't do it all himself. He has planned to use man. He's planned to use you, ladies. He's planned to use you, men. He's planned to use you, children. You see, and this is why understanding our destiny is important. Now, y'all know that we have an enemy. Now, the enemy's been defeated. He's a roaring lion seeking to whom he may devour. He's weak and already overcome. But there are many believers that have been destroyed and many churches that have been destroyed by the devil. The Bible says that the devil will not overcome the kingdom, and that is true. But the devil has definitely overcome churches. And we've got to make a decision that God has a place for us. Now, last month I preached on the divine connection God has brought into your life. This week, this month, I want to preach on this. The church being the divine connection here on this earth. Many people don't understand the church. In fact, many folks have had a very bad experience in church. The problem with that is this, is that if we allow the devil to steal from us the planned purposes of heaven on this planet called the church, then we will be disemboweled from the very principles and the very destiny that God has for us. In fact, this is very true. I just want to say this to you. You're going to hear this a lot this year. The church you go to has direct connection with your destiny. Some people go to the wrong church. They'll never fulfill their destiny. The truth is that the church you go to has a direct connection, the divine connection, with the very purpose of why you're on this planet. This is why the enemy works so desperately to keep you out of church. You see, if the enemy of our soul can keep us out of church, then we will never fulfill the very purpose for our being on this planet. Now, there's one more part of this that's very powerful. Not only is the church you go to having the direct connection to your destiny, but the church's destiny is also directly impacted by your connection with it. So it's both ways. And the issue is this, is that the enemy of our soul knows the time and the season that we're living in. He knows that there's not one prophecy left to be fulfilled before Jesus Christ cracks the eastern sky. Let's be very real. All of us watch the news. We watch the news and we even see concerning North Korea. We all realize how serious that is. If you don't, then you need a wake-up call. Because there is a man who's an absolute lunatic. He is a man that does not care about life or anybody's life. And it literally is just one button away from nuclear war to hit the United States. They now have the capability of bombing any city in America with nuclear warheads. We are in a position we have never been before the Cold War. I should say after the Cold War. You see, Americans, we've got to wake up. Because what's happened is the devil has lulled the church to sleep in the light. We so much go to church and we live our little Christianette lifestyles that we forget about our destiny and our purpose and the design that he has fearfully and wonderfully made for us. So therefore, we kind of just live in Jesus survival mode where, oh God, I hope you're coming quick and pull me out of this place. I don't want to go to hell, but Lord Jesus, I just want to go to heaven. Listen, God wants you to go to heaven. The plan of God is for you to go to heaven. But beyond that, you're still on this earth because he's got purpose for you right here on this planet. God's got an anointing in your life to change people's lives around you. And the truth is this, that if you and I do not fulfill the destiny that God has foreordained for us, then people will die, not just natural death, but literal eternal death. And I'm not talking just individuals, but literally generations will be lost because we have not fulfilled the destiny that he has pre-planned for our hearts. You see, this is very powerful. When we start realizing how intense the church should be, when we realize how powerful the church should be, and truthfully, let's just be very honest, the church has lost so much momentum on this planet that most people laugh about you going to church. They laugh about you giving at church. They look at you and they mock you and see you as weak. But the problem with that is that that means the church does not understand the true purpose of them being on this planet. When we understand, we are not weak, but we are strong. With God on our side, there's nothing we can't accomplish. And with the anointing of the Holy Spirit that destroys every yoke of bondage, there's nothing that we can't break down in the Spirit by prayer and by actions to bring forth the very manifest purposes of heaven on this planet. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's time to bring heaven to earth. And what does that is the church that's filled with the Holy Ghost and with power. And we know our purpose and our destiny, and nothing and nobody will stop us from accomplishing God's design. You see, the truth is that there's a plan to diabolically disconnect you from God's plan of the church. And this is real serious. The average church member now only goes to church one every 3 weeks. We look at that and we say, well, that's no big deal. Yes, it is. It's an absolute big deal. Well, why is that? Because we have a lot of people who have an association with church, but they are not connected to church. Well, church, you know, oh, pastor, you know, I'm not into organized religion. Well, that's one of the most stupid statements you could ever make. Because God's the one who started the church. So if you don't like organization that he started, then you've got to ask yourself, are you for God or against God? You see, the church is not man's plan. The church was not man's creation. Man has done a lot and stupid things, come on now, to ruin it, to mess it up. But the truth is you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. And the only way you're going to have a perfect church is if all of us leave. How many of you got some mess in your life? Not many. Glory to God, we're in good shape. How many of you know your spouse has mess? Yeah, I see how quick that was. Hands are up everywhere. We all got mess. Can I hear an amen? But the fact is that God has a design and wants us all to be connected, that even in our mess, we can bring order. You see, nobody in this room is perfect. No one watching by live stream is perfect. Knowing why watching by television is perfect. But the truth is this, is that we must not disconnect from the plan of heaven. And the enemy is working so desperately to make sure that you are not connected to the household of faith. You see, Jesus is the head of the church. Colossians chapter 1 verse 18 says this, Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. Not only did he make the church, in fact, I love Joel Osteen, but his daddy, Daddy Osteen, made a statement. He said, if you don't like the baptism of the Holy Ghost, just blame Jesus. He's the one who told him to go get it. If you don't like church, you got to just blame Jesus. He's the head. He's the one who started it. He's the one who organized it. He's the one who said, go tarry in Jerusalem till you receive the promise of the Father. Acts chapter 2, all of a sudden the Holy Ghost came upon them. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. And in that day that they were sitting, the Spirit of God came in that room and filled it with the power of the Holy Ghost. They were all filled with the Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. And Peter spilled out onto the deck as there were over 2 million people in Jerusalem during the time of this festival. And he started preaching about Jesus. He started preaching the gospel of Christ. And that day, the first day of the church, 3,000 men gave their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. They figure about 15,000 souls gave their heart to the Lord. I want you to recognize this. When Christ started the church, he didn't start it small in the corner of Kmart. He busted out Jerusalem. Can I hear an amen? See, it's time to recognize that whatever Christ has made, he has made good. Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, dealing with creation. Then God looked over all that he had made, and he saw it was very good. He didn't just see that it was good. He saw that it was very good. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the sixth day. Jesus only makes the best. When he started the church, he didn't start it to make a mess. He started it to bring order back to the world. In fact, the first church, let's be real, they so much brought order, especially in time of Nero, that he hated them so desperately, he literally would take a believer and he would take their children. He would wrap them in sheep's clothing and he would put them out in the middle of the arena with the wild dogs and the wild lions. And he would look at mom and dad and he would say, listen now, you recant your relationship with Jesus or your children will be eaten alive right in front of you. This is history. You can go back and check it out. And mom and dad had a choice. Were they going to stay serving Christ or would they recant their relationship with the Lord Jesus? Every parent that said, I will not turn against Christ, they watched their children be pulled limb from limb, screaming from mom and dad as the animals literally ate them alive. We live in such a simple time, don't we? Where we've got to make a decision, an inch of snow or the house of God. I can't get up for church, but I'll sure make it to the Super Bowl party. Lay's potato chips or the Bible? Now, we laugh at that, but let's be real. Come on now. Let's talk real now. The devil has worked so hard. He has worked so hard to steal, to kill, and to destroy that he has placed within the believers such a disregard, such a twisted mindset about the church that being connected with the body of Christ isn't something that's a reality for most believers anymore. We have a loose association where we come when we want to come. We give when we want to give. We're active when we want to be active. Don't tell me what to do. And listen now, if I'm busy, then leave me alone. That's an amen. And that's true. But I need you to understand where that originated from. For if God makes all things good, and the devil has twisted in your mind that the church is just a place that you're associated with but not connected to, then your divine destiny is not going to be reached. There's no greater excitement than for the devil to realize that the lives that you and I personally are called to reach for Christ will never be told, will never be reached out to, will never be healed, will never be encouraged, will never be strengthened because we have a bad taste in our mouths. We've got to have a shift in our lives. Because the enemy is working hard so that you will not be connected. That divine connection called the church. You've got to have a revival in your heart and a passion in your heart for the house of God. Not the house of man. Not the house of religion. But this is called his tabernacle. Not our tabernacle. This is God's house. This is where God teaches, trains, matures, develops, and he instills us to do the work and the will of heaven. It's time to recognize we need a revival in our heart again for passion. For God's house. See, some people don't go to church. They've been diabolically disconnected because they've been offended. Listen, if you've been offended, guess what? You're going to lose your destiny over somebody else's words. That is just dumb. You don't mind me being Frank, do you? Or Joanne, or whatever my name would be. It's just dumb. I can't even count the amount of people that have said, well, I'm not coming back to that church because you didn't shake my hand. Well, I'm not coming back to that church because somebody said something to me. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. If you're never offended in church, that means you're not connected. If you're never offended in the house of God, that means that you still have a loose association and you really don't care about anybody. Because the truth is every time you love, become vulnerable. Every time you become vulnerable, it's inevitable. You will be hurt. And every time you get hurt, you've got to forgive or you cannot love again. This is the cycle of love. But you see, the cycle of love cannot be instituted until you're connected with somebody beyond just a hi and a bye. I might know your name or I might not. There are some people that have been disemboweled from their vision because they've had that bad experience in church. Just talking to people this week about we've had bad experiences in church. Listen, that's life. You have a bad experience at work. Do you leave work? You have a bad experience in high school. Do you leave high school? You have a bad experience in marriage. You leave marriage. Oh, that's right. Never mind. Move on. I'm sorry, I just offended you, right? Here we are, folks. It's real. And you see, we look back and we don't understand. We fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. This is not about you liking me and me liking you. This is not about you having a bad experience and saying, I'm out of church. This is about the devil knows that if you are connected to the house of God you're called to, that you will fulfill your destiny. And if you are not, you will not, and people will die eternally because of that. He could care less about you. He just cares that you don't take anybody with you. You can't take anything to heaven but somebody else. And so if you're disconnected, you'll never aspire to God's purpose for your life. There are people that have been disemboweled because they're too busy. Listen, if you're too busy for God's house, you're too stinking busy. There are people that have to work. I'm not talking that. But let me tell you something. Most of the people that aren't here, and in fact, in this house, we minister to 1,300 people a month that come through these doors. 2 weeks ago, we had 718. And last week, I believe we had 770. And what are we looking at? Where's the difference? And Pastor Dan will say, 1 week, there's 100 people missing. What is it? People just, they look at church, and it's not an important thing to them. I've got other things to do. I'm too busy, Pastor. And we've got to have a revelation in our spirit that if the church we belong to is a direct connection to the vision and the purpose for my life and destiny for heaven, then I've got to make a decision. This is important. You know, it's funny. The people will say, I can't make it to church this morning, Pastor, because we had an inch and a half of snow. We have a man who traveled all the way from Rochester in the house this morning. We have folks that traveled all the way from Alfred University area that are in the house this morning. We have people that traveled from Mansfield, Pennsylvania and are in the house this morning. Well, what is that? Listen, it's not about whether we really care how much snow is there, because you would still go to work. It really comes down to, do I really believe that this is that important in my life? Is it really that important? You see, this is the change that has to happen in our heart. If truly the divine connection for us to get to the next level in our walk with the Lord is the kingdom of God, the church, then it's not a visitation. It is not you and I being associated. It's saying, God, I need to be connected to your house. I need to be connected to your vision. I want to run the race to win. And God, I'm not looking back. And Jesus, when I see you face to face, I know you're going to say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Not what in the world did you do? Well, I was busy. You can never put God on the busy scene. Can I hear an amen? You got to make a decision. Moms and dads, your kids are making the decision following you. If the house is not important to you, don't. Why do you actually think your grandchildren will get saved? What? Moms and dads, when the house of God is so important that you look at your kid and you say, listen, I don't care what you're doing, you're going to the house of the Lord. I don't care what your excuse. No, you're tired, all right? Sleep under the chair. Oh, you're crying. I'll whoop you. Be quiet. Oh, you're hungry. I'll bring you a snack. Oh, you want to go to your friend's house? Bring your friend. You see, when we eliminate the excuses, then what happens is we affect generations. And what is important to you when it comes to the kingdom of God will be important to your children. And you'll pass that from generation to generation. I'm here to tell you, if we truly, honestly believe that our destiny is wrapped up in the connection of the church that we belong to, then it cannot be something we just visit. It cannot be something that we are condemned to stay away from or allow sin to hold us back from. I've got to hustle along because I'm falling behind. Me too. When you actually believe this, all of life changes. Now, I believe this, and not because I'm a pastor. If I wasn't a pastor, I'd live the same life. Let's look at Pastor Dan. Pastor Dan, before he was ever on staff at His Tabernacle Family Church, he lived in Elmira, worked in Mansfield, and also was my personal assistant, my armor bearer, for 5 years. For 5 years, this man would, at least 3 to 4 times a week, would go from work, would come to the church. I don't even know if he went home. Would come to the church, wouldn't eat supper, would serve here at the house. And for 5 years, he sowed his time, never paid a dime. His life didn't just change. His wife's life changed. His children now are in the house of God. There is something that happens. There is something that occurs when we allow God's house to do what it's called to do. And the enemy of the soul that we have, he desperately wants to keep you from really connecting to the house of God. Because if he can keep you from connecting, then you will never fulfill your destiny. And he has grabbed souls and he's going to fill up hell. But it's time to kick down the doors and say this: my house, the house of God that I go to, is my direct connection to the destiny I'm called to. Get out of my way, devil. Nobody's going to hold me back. Nothing's going to stop me. I'm going to fulfill God's purpose for my life, no matter what the cost. You see, our lives are interwoven, should be interwoven with the house of God. You see, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Jesus came to create a body. Some of us might be the toes, some of us might be the nose, some of us might be the toenails, some of us might be the hangnails. No, I'm just kidding. Some of us might be the hair. Every one of us have a different job, but every one of us are just as important as somebody else. Christ created an army, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Soldiers don't get tied up with the affairs of the civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. Christ came to create a family, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. See, the house of God must be an integral part of your life. Many of us just have never really understood this. Now, I want to give a shout out to my mom. She was in first service, but my mom taught me this. This was taught to me. My mom and my dad had us in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Friday night. Most of the time, I hated it. I tried practicing vomiting so I didn't have to go. I would squeal and scream and caused lots of trouble in my house so I wouldn't have to go. I would do everything not to go, but it was very simple. My dad's arms were like Popeyes, and he had a great way of encouraging me in the right direction. When we look at this shirt, what do we see in this shirt? We see a shirt. But what we really don't see is something that really is so powerful and goes along with the message that I'm talking about. You see, if I cut this shirt, The one thing you're going to find is that this shirt is filled with little threads. You would never have seen that single thread. Lost one. You would never have seen that single thread. Now, what's amazing is this, is we look at this shirt, and this shirt covers us. This shirt protects us from weather. This shirt protects everybody else if I'm wearing it. Jesus, help us all. But when we look at a shirt, what do we see? We see the entirety of all the material and not the single entities that actually make it up. You see, I could take this single thread and I could go into Walmart like this with just that strand on me. You might get away with it at Walmart. So if I had no other clothes on, but this one strand, and I went to the Boatyard in Ithaca, which is a restaurant, how long would I last? Woo, 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 woo. The police would come and nail me for indecent exposure and also creating mass havoc and death threats. That would be considered a death threat with just that one strand on me. This is what the enemy's trying to do to you. You see, when you're not connected to the church, you're just a single strand. You can't cover anything. You can't do anything in a unity. It's just you. There's nothing the enemy wants to do more for your life than to get you all by yourself where you're just a single strand and it accomplishes nothing on this planet. But you see, when you take that strand and you interwove it with all of the other strands, all the single pieces, all of a sudden you no longer see individual. You only see the corporate. And when you look at that, you know what it does. It makes you look good. Can I hear an amen? It keeps you safe. Can I hear an amen? It keeps other people safe. Can I hear an amen? And it does its job. But when you're all by yourself, there's nothing that happens that's a positive thing. See, the enemy's worked this so desperately that in America, church attendance has dropped like it's never dropped before. And in this house, listen, I know what we do in this house. We see people saved every single week. We had 3 men give their heart to the Lord in first service. People saved last week. People saved all during the week. Thank you. We had people that been healed last week. I love when you guys post the healings that God does in this house. We have people that come here and they have no hope and God gives them hope. They even need practical needs like food. We get them practical needs like food. We touch pastors in Syracuse. We touch pastors in Utica. We spent, my goodness, you don't want to miss the annual business meeting to hear the celebration of all the money that we spent from the church budget to help other people. Almost 30%, right? How much? How many percentage? Almost 30% of the church's budget was to build up other people. But you see, what happens if you're just by yourself, you really can't get anything done. You're awful vulnerable. So why does the enemy work so desperately? Because he knows how to destroy you. He knows how if you get offended, you're walking away from the church. You're walking away from your divine connection. You're walking away from your being trained and developed and matured and moving as one body so we can accomplish the wisdom and the purpose and the plans of God. He knows that if he can disconnect you, he knows that if he can slightly associate you, that when it's time for you to be used by God, you will not even look at your design. You will not look at your gifts. But you'll just simply say, well, I guess, you know, that's up to them, and I'll visit on the 4th Sunday of the month. Got to make decisions in our lives. I got one more example for you, and then we're going to be done. SWAT. This is Marge. Marge, now, I don't know how many of you know Marge, but Marge is a great woman of God. She just loves Jesus. If you haven't gotten to know Marge, you need to get to know Marge a little bit. She is single. But let's move on. Well, you never know the divine connection in the room. She didn't even cuss at me. You see, every one of our lives, as you saw even a few weeks ago, is like a puzzle. And God puts divine connections in our lives to put together the picture that we truly are. And this is really awesome as we look at Marge's life and what God has been doing. You see, when she came here, she was a very broken woman. I'm telling the truth, correct? Very broken woman. She'd been to a church where she had been abused, and she was really broken in heart, but she loved the Lord. And all of a sudden, she came here, and she learned the principles of tithing and sowing and seeing God really bless her. And truthfully, right here, God gave her a house. He gave her a house. Then, while she's been here, God gave her the job that she had always wanted in the fashion of being able to pay her bills and accelerate. It's really exciting. She was part of the house of God. Then she's one where, if you've never seen the children's youth wing, you need to go take a look. She painted the entire walls of the entire youth. You see, these are her gifts and her talents. And as she's been at the church of God, you see, all of this has been coming together. Marge, where's that last piece? Marge, it's in the box. Marge, it's right there. Marge, it's right. No, that won't fit. Marge, that's the wrong piece. Maybe she's not single. See, the amazing part about my job is I get to see people's puzzles. I get to see their lives coming together. And the amazing part is the last piece is in the box. It completes the connection. Watch so many people look at that last piece. And because they're too busy, because they've been offended, because they don't want to do anything, because of, how many people's destinies will be buried with them in the grave, and they will never fulfill God's purpose for their life because they chose never to be connected. You see that last piece? You see this? It says this. Bernacle, Millie Church, Nixon's. But this is the piece. The piece is that God planned for you and I to be connected to the house of God. God planned us to be intricately involved in the house of the Lord, to be faithful to the house of the Lord. The Bible says, do not disassociate yourself, especially in the last days. Why? Because the Lord is coming. In the last days, he's telling us, this is when you're supposed to press in and be more faithful to the house of God, more connected to the house of God. But the devil constantly works to keep that last piece from fitting in the puzzle. You see, that last piece says this. His tabernacle, the church you go to, has a direct connection to your destiny. Divine connections is what he opens to make your purposes come to fruition. Without that last piece, I'm sorry. You can do all those other things, and they're nice, but never fulfill God's design for you. You've got to make a decision in your life. Let's be real. Time goes by so fast. We've got to say, God, I'm going to arrest my time. God, I'm going to declare that I'll live for you. God, I'm going to declare that I'm not going to be possibly associated with the church once a month or once every other month or even every other week. But God, I want to be in your house. Lord, I want to be connected to ministry. I want to be connected to lives. I want to be that divine connection that will bring healing to somebody. You know, we had a situation, it was a horrific scene many, many years ago, where a lady's son hung himself in a closet in Syracuse. Horrible. I watched her. She had been with me for many, many years, even in the last church. And I watched her as her heart was broken and she went through this healing process. And man, let me tell you, that was a horrific time. But she got healed and she was connected to the house of God. She was available for people. And then one day, it happened again to another lady. Her son drove a car out into the back of the field and he died. He took an overdose and died. He was 20 smart years old. Here's this woman. She's devastated. I'm talking, my wife and I are there. Pastor Banfield was there. She's devastated. I'm watching how she can hardly stand. But then I watched the woman who'd already been healed, who was divinely connected, connected with her, and God healed her heart. How important you are? Don't you ever let the devil lie to you. Don't you ever let him think that you, don't you ever let him tell you you're insignificant. Don't you ever think that you don't have purpose and design. Get connected. You'll find that God will use you in someone's life. You'll hear, all of a sudden, God will put you in a position with an individual, and you're the one that has the voice and the word from heaven just for them, that will save them from bad decisions, that will heal their heart. You see, you are God's divine connection to somebody else. But if you are not connected, Pastor, I got my feelings hurt, Pastor. Oh, you know, that's the best excuse they got. Well, you know, you're not fulfilled. Others are not fulfilled. And people are lost forever. Because if you don't believe, you don't believe that your life is interwoven with others, you're just a single thread. Man, there's no easier target. Single thread. I challenge you to become connected. Some of you need to ask the Holy Spirit why you have chosen not to be connected. Why you've chosen to be loosely associated with the house of faith. Why you do nothing in the house of God. You come in and you leave. You come in and you leave. We all have excuses. But truthfully, the greatest, most peaceful position in your life is when you're doing the will of God. You want to smile like you've never smiled before? Do the will of God. You want to have peace where it doesn't seem like there's even a possibility of peace? Do the will of God. Serve him. Serve his kingdom. And you'll always be satisfied. Bow your heads with me this morning. I love this word. Because there's an answer for some of you. You've wondered why there's still a hole in your puzzle. Here's your answer. You need to get connected. Do something in the house of God. You're not sure what to do? Go see Pastor Dan. Pastor Dan will make sure that you are connected with the right people in the house with your gifts. God will use your life to change others. Father, I speak right now over this congregation and over those that are on live stream. And I declare, God, in Jesus' name, I pray for all those, Lord, that are on live stream and maybe even on television, Lord, who have never come to the house of God. I pray, Holy Spirit, that today you will reveal to them the importance of the divine connection of the household of faith. Lord, they'll stop watching and start participating. Lord, I pray for everyone in this room. Lord, every one of us got messes in our lives. Every one of us got reasons, Lord, not to be connected. But I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll bring us to a position and a place that we'll want you more than we want anything else. That God will want to please you more than we want to please anyone else. And that Jesus will serve you with with all of our heart, our mind, our body, soul, and our strength. Your head's bowed and your eyes closed. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I don't have religion for you. I don't have a church for you to join. I have the kingdom of God for you to be a citizen of. What does that mean? That means Jesus will wash all your sins away. He'll give you design and purpose and a reason to breathe, not just survive. Today, if you'd like Jesus to wash your sins away, maybe you know that you've got a sin between you and God. And if you die today, you're just not sure whether you go to heaven. You want to make sure. Today's your day. Today, if you'd like to receive Christ, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. Anybody else? Come on. I'm not going to wait real long. You know why I won't wait long? Because if I got to beg you, you don't get it yet. 5. Come on, get your hand up. 3, 2. Last call. And 1. Let's all stand to our feet. As your pastor, you do not want to miss next week. It's going to be good. We have an announcement that is so exciting. It's taking everything not to say it right now. No, I can't. I can't. No, I can't. But honestly, I would really, it's really hard not saying it. Do you want to know what it is? You have to come next week. All right. Not only that, we have another announcement that you're going to love. You're going to so enjoy. It's going to help you connect with the house of God. And then, it's our 20th anniversary. We have a photograph that was signed by everybody here who is here at the 10-year anniversary. And we're going to show it. We're going to put it in a frame and frame it up so you can see it. There's a book, right? Was it a book? There's a book that all the folks that were here for the 10-year signed. Man, it's so cool. You want to see part of our history. 20 years at His Tabernacle Family Church. The Lord has brought us from 5 people every week to ministering between 12 and 1,300 folks. That is awesome in a cornfield. Amen? God is so good. But I'm believing God, by Christmas, there'll be 1,000 souls in this building every single Sunday morning. How many believe God with me? How many will fill a row? Amen. Fill a row. Father, I speak blessing right now over this people, your people. God, I declare that we are blessed going in and blessed going out. And Lord, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Lord, I declare by your word, Jesus, that, Lord, not one of us will step away from your house, but all of us will have a divine connection. That, Lord, you'll use us to change this region in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. We love you. Serve God with all of your heart. Have an awesome day. There'll be an annual business meeting in about 15 to 20 minutes.